Today we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit. We have been in a series here that we have called 3-in-1. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we realize this, that all three are functioning roles in the Bible, stand alone, but yet they all three work in harmony and unity with each other. And what we have established through this is we can't say, as Christians, we can't say, oh, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Because we see all three evident all through the Old and New Testament, the painting of the picture, all three present at the same time, all three symbolic at the same time, all three functioning at the same time. And so this is the pattern set throughout the Old and New Testament. And so we have to come to grips and say, all right, if all three are relevant or all three are a fairy tale. But it's either one or the other, okay? Either one's false or all three are false, or all three are true and real for my life. And we believe all three are true. And God wants us to have a relationship through His Son Jesus. He sent to redeem us, and He empowered us through the Holy Spirit. So we've been unlocking this, talking about the roles of the Holy Spirit in our life and what that brings to you and I. And we realize that the Holy Spirit is called to be my best friend, my guide in life. That He says that He would guide me into all truth, that the Holy Spirit knows the heart of God. And if I would learn to listen to the Holy Spirit as a believer, if I learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, He will lead me and guide me into the will of the Father for my life. Save myself a lot of pain, a lot of struggle, if I learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're learning that He is a part of the triune God. We can't separate Him, but He's a part, an equal part of the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He guides us. And we realize in this that He gives us spiritual gifts. Last week, I went through and listed all the spiritual gifts found in Scripture. If you wasn't here, I advise you to go and catch up with that sermon on our podcast at mydestinychurch.com. I listed the spiritual gifts, gave a brief overview of how those operate in our life. Now today, if you're a first-time guest, you're in for a treat. You picked a really good Sunday to be here. Because I guarantee you, we're going to talk about something today that I know it's a very controversial subject when it comes to church, because a lot of people don't share it. A lot of people are afraid to talk about it. And because of that is because we've allowed Satan to come in and to distort the Holy Spirit in the church. Because what happens is this, Satan likes to divide. Anytime God has something great in store for us, Satan wants to distract us from that. He wants to divide us. Let's think about worship for a chance. You know, worship has been something that has divided the church for many years. People over the style of worship. Some like the old, some like the new. And people over have split, churches have split up and fight over stupid things like into the worship. And, you know, what is that? Satan's sitting back laughing because he knows that if he's got us fighting over worship, we're not entering into the power of worship. And we're not entering into a full engaging ourselves in worship. And so Satan will oftentimes come in, try to distract the things of God. And he's done this with the Holy Spirit, telling us the Holy Spirit's not relevant for us today. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And today I'm going to talk about this subject. You ready? That's what it's called. Does the Holy Spirit speak in tongues? Wow. Okay. Does the Holy Spirit speak in tongues? And I'm going to answer. This is what we're going to do. I'm not going to give you so much my opinion. We're just going to look at the Scripture and see and interpret it for ourselves and just see what the Holy Spirit has to say, what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit, especially when it comes to this mystery, because it's kind of like this mystery thing out there, you know. What is this thing? And people, like, it's in the Bible. Is it important? I've been taught it's there, but don't touch it. Don't play with it. You know, keep it there. It was a one-time thing in the Bible for us to learn about, but it's not relevant in our world today. There's other people who believe just the opposite. Oh, yeah, it's for us today, and we just use it all the time everywhere. So what does the Bible really say? Let's open that up, and let's look and see. Let's try to answer a really tough question today. And I believe that today that we're going to see many people who are going to have answers. It's going to open up your heart to really what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life and answer this question. Does the Holy Spirit really speak in tongues? Okay, so let's get right into it. See, last week we talked about that Paul gave us instructions on how to use the gifts of the Spirit. And when he was talking about one of the gifts was the gift of speaking in tongues. And he was talking about the gift of interpreting those tongues. And in that instruction last week, we learned that Paul was saying that the gift of speaking in tongues is not a bad thing. But he says you got to learn to use that gift. If you have that gift, don't use that gift when you have people who don't understand what's going on. And he said, those who are uninformed. So basically what he was saying, when you have non-Christians coming in to your services, or if you have non-Christians coming into your group, your study group, or wherever you're at, he goes, don't just break out and speak in tongues. He goes, I'd rather you prophesy in English so they understand what's happening. Because when you speak in tongues, you're just edifying yourself, but the person next to you who doesn't know who Jesus is, especially doesn't know who the Holy Spirit is, they're going to be freaked out and be like, man, wow, you know, that I leave here confused. I thought I was going to come and hear about Jesus, but I came and heard this guy speaking this language. I don't know what he was talking about. And so it can be very confusing. And so Paul was saying, hey, I speak more than any of you guys. I pray to the Spirit. I speak in tongues more than anybody here. He was saying, I speak all the time. But he goes, there's a right way to use it, and to use it with caution, to use it with wisdom. But to use it, okay? He didn't say not to use it. He just said to use it with caution. So when you have a group where you're going to have people in that midst who don't understand, use it with caution. If you're praying for somebody and you know that person is a believer and they have an understanding of the Holy Spirit and you feel like praying in the Spirit over them, then by all means, do that. That's okay. It's going to edify you. It's going to encourage them as well. But if that person doesn't, if you're not sure, then just speak in English or pray in English. That's what he was talking about here, okay? And so let's answer some questions as we talk about this and get into this whole thing about using the tongues. Is it really relevant in the Bible? Let's see what the Bible has to say. Let me answer some basic questions. Number one, let's answer the question, yes, it is scriptural. Speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit is scriptural. Look what 1 Corinthians 14:2 says. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Okay. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. And so this is obviously different than the tongues that was given on the day of Pentecost. Okay. The day of Pentecost, as a sign, they spoke in tongues of fire set upon them, but they spoke in a language that was unknown to them, but to all the people who were in for the feast, who had come from different countries and spoke different languages, they heard people speaking their language, even though that person had never been taught how to speak in their language. And so it became a sign to them, because they wasn't saying, oh, hey, hi, how you doing today? When you go to the store, pick me up some extra milk. They wasn't saying that. When they were speaking, the only thing that would come out of their mouth, they were speaking the praises of God. They're speaking the praises of Jesus, praising the Father. And as they were doing this, they were doing it in languages they didn't know, but it was coming out and people were hearing the praises of God in their own language. And they're like, there's no way. This must be a sign from God. They don't even know my language and they're speaking it to me. And so they became a sign. This is not the same thing as a spiritual gift. The spiritual gift, he said, speaks in a tongue, does not speak to people, but to God. Okay? So it's a language only God understands. It's a language that comes from deep within your spirit. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Look what verse 14 says in 18. For if you pray in the tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? Paul says, I will pray with my spirit. That's speaking in an unknown tongue, but I will also pray with my understanding. That's English or whatever that language was. Okay. I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. And so what I want you to get at is this, is that we got to realize that he says this, that we should be ready. We should be ready to pray. So when people hear, they understand the praises that are coming. So on a side note, we should always be ready to give the praises to God. We should always be ready to speak and with understanding the praises of God. So when you're around people, you know, don't be afraid to say, you know, I just want to tell you how much God has changed my life. I want to tell you how much God has helped save my marriage. I want to talk to you about how God has changed me as a father. I want to tell you how God has changed my attitude. I want to tell you how God healed my broken heart. And so you have a way of changing. You can bring this in. And he says, speak the praises so people understand. We should be declaring the praises for others. Listen, it's also number two, it's a benefit. It's scriptural, but it's also a benefit. Speaking in a prayer language, we call speaking in tongues according to scripture, it's a benefit. How many like benefits? Anybody here like benefits? I know. You don't like benefits. How many people have ever gotten benefits? Hey, you've been working 10 years at your job. Therefore, you've gotten released to you new benefits. And we don't go, oh, hey, I'm sorry, boss. I don't want any of these benefits. You take that and you keep that. I'll take this one benefit, but you take the other five and you give them to somebody else. No, we want all the benefits we've got coming to us, right? And so that's a natural process, and it's the way it should be. And for every Christian, is you want every benefit that the Spirit has for us. It's to our benefit. See, 1 Corinthians 14:4, look what Paul told us. He says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies, encourages, what that word edify means, themselves. But the one who prophesies edifies and encourages the church. And so, this word but here really translates to really mean, according to the original meaning, was just a word like we use for and. And so he was saying, hey, those who speak in tongues, they edify themselves, and those who prophesy also edifies the church. And what I want you to get at, he was never saying one was better than the other. He was just saying they both have different meanings and have different places in the church and the body. But he wasn't making one greater than the other. He was simply trying to tell us, you know, hey, it's good to prophesy for the whole church to be encouraged. It's also good to pray in the Spirit so you edify yourself, be edified. And sometimes that message in tongues will happen when it's a group of Christians around and you just feel the Spirit giving you that message and you speak it. Because if that happens though, make sure someone's there who can spiritually interpret that message as well, who can hear from God and get the intent. Otherwise, just prophesy in English, okay? Otherwise, just speak it in English. But he wasn't trying to say one was bad or one was good. He wasn't trying to say one was weak and one was strong. He was just telling us the right place to use it and use it in balance in our life. And so he was trying to teach us this picture here of how to use it in a healthy way. So, I've seen Christians on both sides try to take these words of Paul, twist them around, and they try to make the church afraid. Well, see, Paul doesn't want us speaking in tongues. He didn't say that. Paul never said that. He said, I speak more than anybody else. I hope that you choose to speak in tongues. I hope you use tongues. But just use it with wisdom and know how to use it. And he says, I also want you prophesy and encourage each other. He wasn't saying one was greater than the other. He was simply saying to us, use it with balance in our life and use it in the right context and the right setting. And I've seen other people say, you know what? Paul said, I wish you would speak in tongues on all occasions. And man, that's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying to go out and just speak in tongues everywhere you go just because you got a spiritual gift and use it. He said, no, use it with wisdom. So that's wrong too. And so we got to learn that he was trying to teach us the healthy boundaries to say, hey, speak in tongues. It edifies yourself. It's okay. But at the same time, prophesy when you're in a group where non-believers are there so they understand. And just don't try to make this thing out to be so mystical that people can't understand it. It's a spiritual gift that's given to us and we can use it. But he said, also learn to prophesy. Look what Ephesians 6:13 says. Now, many of you, when you were maybe younger in church, and maybe you went to a VBS, maybe you were in a Sunday school class, you heard someone talk about the full armor of God, and they brought out this cool armor, and they put it on, teaching this story. You know what I'm talking about. And how many know it says, therefore, put on the full. Ephesians 6:13 says, put on the full, everybody say full, full armor of God. He says, man, you want to use the whole thing, right? I mean, we put on the full armor. When we get ready to play the games on Friday night, I want all. I want my helmet. I want my shoulder pads. I want my cleats. I want the pads. I want every pad I can get to protect me, right? I would never go play without a helmet. I know. I want to put on everything. That's what the scripture was telling. Put on the full armor so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm. Then he goes on to list what these armors are. He says, put on your belt of truth, man. Buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes through the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And, see, why do we always skip this one? This is like always skipped. No one ever goes to finish this out. And he says a part of this armor is and pray in the Spirit. On all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So he was telling us this is a part of our armor. Our spiritual armor we've been given is praying, learning how to pray in the Spirit. So it's definitely for us. How many people here today have served in the service? Anybody, military, men and women here? Raise your hand if you served in any area of the service. Come on, let's honor these guys again. Give them a big hand. Yeah. We appreciate your service to our country. How many of those who've ever gone into active duty and had to serve and go into any kind of war situation of fighting, you say, you know, I think I'll leave that here. I'll just give me the bayonet. You know, I'm going to go back. I'm old school. Me and Chuck Norris, we're doing this thing. No, you're going to give me every advanced weapon you got for me. I want every technology. I want the latest gear. I want the best. I want the full armor, man. Don't send me out there to battle with a half armor. Give me everything. You see, but when we don't have to learn to take this gift of praying in the Spirit, we're not walking with the full armor that God's got for us. And so he's saying, listen, take it all. Learn to pray in the Spirit. It's a part of your weapons that we have. We see this here playing out. That's a big part of who we are. Look what Jude says in verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude. And so verse 20 of that chapter says, but you, dear friends, by building, everybody say building, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. So how do we build ourselves up? By praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. We all need building up, right? There's not a person in this room who doesn't need built up. You don't need your spiritual man encouraged. You don't need to be built up. None of us have reached the pinnacle. None of us have reached the top. We're all on this journey of growing in God and growing in our journey with God. And he says the way that we allow ourselves to be built up in our spirit is by praying in the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing a pattern released for us? He says it builds you up. And the third thing we see, it's a choice. It really is. Praying in the Spirit, it is a choice. It's a choice you can make. 1 Corinthians 14:14. We read it a while ago. Look what it says. For if, everybody say if, it's a choice. See, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And so what I want you to know here is this, is that it's a choice for you to make. You got to choose to yield to the Spirit when it comes to praying in your life. If you want to pray in the Spirit, it's a choice. You just simply say, God, I want the Spirit to learn how to pray in the Spirit. I yield to it. Just like I learned to yield to the other gifts of the Spirit in my life, I got to do that, right? I just don't say, you know what? You know, God, when you're ready to do a miracle and work in me and to heal the sick or to pray for someone to get healed, yeah, I just walk by and they're going to get healed, you know, and that's going to happen, you know, it's pretty cool. No, I got to say, no, I got to yield to that. I think God wants me to pray for this person. And I go, hey, is it all right if I pray for you? I just want to pray for you. Sometimes it means going up to the hospital and visiting them in the hospital, say, hey, can I pray for you? You gotta choose to do that. Same thing when it comes to praying in the Spirit. You gotta learn how to say, yes, I'll do that. I'll choose to do that. It's a choice. I either choose or I don't to yield to the Holy Spirit in my life. I have people who have asked me, let's answer some practical questions now. I've had people ask me, so what's this sound like, Pastor? I think this whole concept is just really strange to me. It's really, really weird to me. So what is this whole concept? How does it sound like? And I would say to you many times when you're learning to pray in the Spirit, if you're a Christian here today and you're learning to pray in the Spirit, that many times you'll just have like one phrase come to you in your spirit. You're like, that don't sound right. I feel really dumb if I just say this out loud. That's going to be really dumb. I don't want to say that. That's going to sound really dumb. And we have like one phrase. Let me ask you this. How many here have ever been born? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you? I guess a stork brought you and dropped you. Okay. How many were born from your mother? Yes, okay, all right, there you go. All of us here, okay, we're all born. Let me ask you this. How many people were born speaking fluent English? Anybody here? Raise your hand. No, some of you raised, wait, that's a trick question. None of us were born speaking fluent English, right? What happened? You know, we did this like one day, you know, you haven't been talking, and all of a sudden you say, Mom, this bottle, could you please put it back in the microwave? It's not warm enough for me. The temperature is really unsettling to my stomach. Could you please soothe my stomach by warming this bottle back up a few more seconds? And while you're at it, Mom, these Huggies, Where are they? This generic brand you're giving me is giving me a rash around my legs. Please spend the extra money and buy me the Huggies. I like them a lot better. No leakage, Mom. Please. And Mom, while you're at it, please use the baby powder often, often. I smell down there. I need as much powder as possible, Mom. Please, if we could do this, our life would be oh so much better. No, what do they say? Ah! First sounds are like, ah, ah, gaga, dada, mama. Finally, they learn, no. And then they learn, mine. You know, it takes a while, doesn't it? It takes a while for our babies to develop the language and become fluent in speaking those language. Are you following me here today? See, when we're speaking and learning how to pray in the Spirit, sometimes it's just going to be a sound. It's just going to be something I can tell you. It just may come to you. You're like, man, I'm praying or I'm worshiping. It's like a sound in there. I don't know what this is. Don't be afraid just to say it, okay? Don't be afraid just to say it. You're not going to be dumb. I can guarantee you. But when you do it in faith, that there'll be another word that comes to you. And the more you do it, the more phrases come to you. And the more you use it, the more it'll come to you and begin to be flow out of your life. Okay? But don't be afraid. I love the story I was talking to the first service about my two oldest kids, Preston and Melissa. Preston, raise your hand back here in the sound room. There you go. Preston back here. Preston does a great job with our social media. You guys give him a big hand back here. But when he was first just a toddler in preschool, we didn't realize it, but he had some problems with his ears, and so he needed tubes in his ears to help with the drainage, and he couldn't hear clearly. So therefore, he was learning words and phrases. He was not hearing them the same way we was, and he was learning a whole different language than what we were learning, okay? And so we would be at the table, and he would be like in his high chair, and he'd be speaking, you know, and he'd be like trying to tell us something at the table, and he'd be like, and me and Mel would look at each other like, what is he saying? And Melissa, his sister, would be there and she would never miss a beat. She'd be eating. She goes, he said he wants some more macaroni and cheese. See, Preston was speaking in tongues and Melissa had the interpretation right there. There you go. You see? It's so true. Why? Because she had already spent time with her brother, had already formed a bond with her brother. She was able to interpret the intent of what he was trying to say. You see, none of us here have a problem accepting that story. None of us here have a problem. Yeah, my kids have done that. I've seen that. Yeah, that's the way I was. I remember my kids. Some of you are laughing because your kids have experienced. So none of us here have a problem accepting that story. But it's really the same way when it comes to the Spirit, speaking in a language of the Spirit, we have to say, oh, that's weird, Pastor. That's way out there. I can't even understand. That's so weird. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's the way we learn to talk. It's the way we learn to interpret. It's the same way. God, the Holy Spirit will use and wants to speak through us. And what I want you to get today is this. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of this, okay? You don't have to say, you know what? If you don't want to use it, choose it. That's up to you, okay? I'm not here to say nobody today is going to force you to do this. Nobody's going to say you're missing heaven if you don't do this. All I'm here to show you is this, that it is a benefit for us. It's a part of our armor. And when you learn to use it, man, it can be very powerful part of the Christian walk. It can be a very powerful part of praying in the Spirit, of edifying yourself, praying through the Holy Spirit. It's a really big part of the Christian life. It can really change you. So we have no problem accepting it, but when it comes to spiritual things, we're like, oh, that's crazy. No, it's really something we use already in our life. It just seems more natural. So the first time you feel it while you're praying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if you don't understand. Just say out what's coming to you and let the Holy Spirit use it in your life. The more you do it by faith, the better you'll get at it. When you pray, do you pray by faith? Really? You praying? Who you praying to? Who you praying to? God? Oh, wait, do you see God? How do you know he's hearing you? I know he's there, Pastor. By faith, I know that Scripture teaches me that when I pray, God hears me. So, if I'm speaking out something that I don't understand, it's something coming to me, and I'm praying to God, and I happen to say some phrases that I don't really understand, it's by faith. By faith, God, I believe that's the Holy Spirit speaking through me and wanting to speak to you. It's just by faith. And I just tell you, that's how you engage it. You engage it by faith in your life. So many people ask, you know, well, if I yield to this, I'm just really afraid, Pastor, that I'm just like, it's going to overtake me. You know what I mean? It's like I'm going to be in Walmart pushing my cart, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's going to hit me. I'm going to, yeah, I'm going to walk my way over to the microphone. I'm going to grab it and on the intercom start speaking in tongues to everybody in Walmart. That's not going to happen, okay? If it does, you're just weird, okay? Don't blame it on the Holy Spirit. You're just weird. That's all that is. You choose. You choose when you can use it. You choose. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit won't move on upon you in Walmart. But what I'm saying, you're going to use wisdom. You're not going to go grab the microphone and just give it to everybody in Walmart. No, you're going to use wisdom, God. You understand what's happening, okay? And so it's a choice. It's just not going to overtake you. Well, I can't hold it in. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can hold it in. And you can hold it in and use it in the right context. Use it in the right setting. I'm telling you, it's the way that Paul laid it out for us was so clear. How to use it. Use it. Use it when you're praying. He said, I use it more than anybody here. He goes, so use it when you pray. Develop that gift. Use it. But use it with wisdom. Don't use it when you have non-believers that are there. Don't use it. You're bringing confusion to them. Instead, just prophesy and speak the great things of God. He said, do both. Do both. It's important, but use it with wisdom. I like what Jesus had to say to us. And I think this is so clear in Luke chapter 11. It's like Jesus knew that you and I were going to have this conversation today, talking about this thing. And he's like, let me just give you some wisdom, because after I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out. There's going to be a lot of questions. And so it's like Jesus was speaking to us way in advance so we can understand about the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. Jesus said, which of your fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead? Really? Now, you know, Ryan might do this, but most good fathers wouldn't do this. We're not going to give our kids a snake if they ask for a fish, right? No, we're going to, he said, if they ask for an egg, you're going to give them a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, above and beyond, will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, we understand this, that he was telling us we don't have to be fearful of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be fearful of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He was speaking right to us that when we ask of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to be fearful. He was saying this to you and I, that we can relax knowing that they are good gifts. What I want you to get today, if God has a gift for you, it's a good gift. It's a benefit. It's to an advantage. Never, never, even if you choose not to operate in that gift or to accept that gift, what I'm telling you is this, never say, that's not of God. Because every gift from the Holy Spirit is from God. And it's a good gift for us. And so I want you today, if you say, you know what, I was always afraid, you know, I don't want to open up my spirit to catch the wrong spirit. I appreciate what you're saying, but this, you don't have to be afraid of anything from the Holy Spirit. It's the good gifts. That's why he says these are even better gifts than you and I can imagine. It's for us today. How many know Christmas is just around the corner, right? How many is ready for Christmas already? Anybody ready for Christmas? All three of you, okay. How many are like, you people, just settle down with the Christmas stuff. Wait until Thanksgiving gets here, please. You know, at least put out some Thanksgiving decorations. Some of you people, my wife, skips right over to Christmas. You know, Christmas, I love Christmas, and I know many of you do too. One thing we don't have to worry about, it's just Christmas. When we have gifts under the tree for our kids, we don't have to worry about, you know what, oh, 2 weeks goes by. Oh, I left that big gift under the tree unwrapped. Mom, Dad, how stupid of me. I left that gift unwrapped. No, I guarantee you every gift that we have for our children will be found and be unwrapped. Right? They're not going to leave them there. Well, I've got enough gifts this year. How about those that stay there until next year, Mom, Dad? Anybody ever had their kids tell you that? Hey, I've already got what I need this year. This is enough gifts. I know you went through the problem, but how about you just keep those under the tree for a year, and next Christmas I'll open that gift. Then he's going to know you have a ride on your hands. You try to pull that one off. Your kids are like, no way. You know, and that's the same thing I want you to realize. That's how we are when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we say, God, I believe in these gifts, but that gift, well, that two gifts over there, I don't want those gifts in my life. No, every gift is from the Father is a good gift. Every gift to us is for our advantage. And they're available to anyone who wants to have these gifts. That's what Paul taught us. I'm going to ask the musicians to come today. As they head this way, I want to tell you a story that some of you may relate to today and some of you may not. But when I was about 12 years old, the pastor of our church gave a time for the altar and people came to the front. And I wasn't really even responding to the altar call, but I was feeling kind of guilty, you know, like some of you, and you go, oh, I better slip in the very back of this altar call. And so I was kind of like there, you know, like not really in the front, but I was kind of like in the second row and just kind of maybe a little closer to the front. And all of a sudden, this person comes beside me, puts her hand on my shoulder, and starts praying. It's like, God, fill him with the Holy Spirit, God. Give them the gift of speaking in tongues, God. And pretty soon somebody else heard them praying that prayer over me. And somebody comes to the other side of me and starts praying for me. God! And then one person's yelling, hang on! So you know where I'm going. The other person, let go! The other person, speak it, speak it, speak it! And then pretty soon people around start hearing what's going on. And they all look and say, oh, that boy, he needs Jesus really bad. It was really true. Okay? And so they come, and they're like, 20 people circle me, start putting their hands on me, like, speak it, man, speak it, speak it. And they're like, closing in on me. And I was kind of claustrophobic anyway. It wasn't a good setting. I was like, Jesus, if you'll ever get me out of this, I promise, I'll never do this again. That's what I said. I promise. That's the words I said down at the altar. You get me out of this. I'll never do this again. These people are freaking me out. I'm 12 years old having this conversation with God. And so I was determined they were not going to let me out of that circle until something happened. So I thought of every motorcycle name I could think of. Hyundai, Kawasaki, Kazuka, whatever, you know, I'm making up names. Who tied my bow tie? I was naming all those things I could think of. He's got it! He's got it! He's got it! They let me go, and I said, I will never, ever do that again. Traumatized me. Fast forward, now I'm in college, and I'm feeling God call me to be a pastor in the ministry, and so I'm there studying the Word of God, and as I open up the Bible, I'm like, God, about the Holy Spirit. There's so much more to the Holy Spirit. I just heard one message on the Holy Spirit. The one message was speaking in tongues. And you had it or you didn't have it. I was like, there's so much more. All these other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's so much more to the Holy Spirit. And I'm already using the Holy Spirit in these other gifts. Then why would I be afraid of this gift? I've been afraid of this gift for a long time. And I've even talked bad about this gift for a while. But I realize now that it's real. And I know that you wouldn't have it for me if it wasn't for my benefit. So I remember praying in my dorm room. I said, God, if you want me to have this gift, I want it. And I began to pray. And next time I prayed, I prayed the same thing. In my dorm room, I just prayed, having a time of worship, studying. And I just felt this, like this word coming. I was like, wait, I think it's from the Spirit. And I said that phrase a few times, and then I just knew, like, yeah, that was it. And the next time I prayed, same thing happened, and I got another phrase. And then three or four times, I'm like, pretty soon I'm speaking in, I feel like I'm speaking in the Spirit in like longer, and I could feel it empowering me and edifying me. And it was later on down the road that I began to speak it, and it came really natural, very easy for me. And that happened in my dorm room, okay, by myself. So what I'm here to tell you is simply this, is that, first of all, no one here is going to traumatize you, I can promise you that. No one here is going to make you feel like God doesn't love you because you're not using this. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. All I want you to simply do is simply say, you know what? I'm opening up my life and saying, God, if this is for me, I don't want to be afraid of it. Some of you here, you've operated in this gift before, and you just say, you need to say, God, I've been letting it be dormant a long time in my life. It's time for me to rekindle that gift, begin to pray in the Spirit over my life, over my family. Some of you here, you've never even heard of this before. This is your first time. And simply what's happening now, your light's coming on. God, wow, there's so much more than the mysteries of the Spirit that God has for me. Before we go any further, I want you to bow your heads, though. And the first role of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is this, is that the Holy Spirit convinces me that I need Jesus. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is it convinces me that I need Jesus. So today, before you say, Pastor, before I can go any further, I just simply need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never done that before. I've never accepted Jesus. And today, I realize there's so much more than Jesus. And it all starts right here with the one phrase, God, I surrender my life to you. I believe you are the Son of God. If you've never prayed that prayer, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. But we do want to give you a chance to respond today with nobody looking but me. You say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. We had some in the first service. Now we have others in this service. If you haven't raised it, raise it right now. Say, Pastor, it's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. I see those hands, guys. Thank you. This is what we're going to do. If you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer out loud with me. And as Christians around you, we'll say it out loud with you as well to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender every part of me to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son, who died on the cross for my sins. From this day forward, I will follow after you. I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, just say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand.
Yeah.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, before you leave at our welcome center, we'd love to give you a free Bible. Inside there is some information that we want you to have on the next steps, things you need to do next. I invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many say, Pastor, I want everything the Holy Spirit has for me. I just want everything. I want to stop being afraid of things of the Holy Spirit. And I'm ready just to say, Holy Spirit, I want everything. Anybody here, that's your prayer, raise your hand. That's me. I want everything the Holy Spirit has for me. We're going to close this song. I'm going to invite you today, if you want to step out and join us around the front, you're more than welcome to do that. Let's step out and say, God, I want to step into everything the Holy Spirit has for me. As we close this song, there's just a sign saying, God, I'm stepping out into the new. You don't have to come. If you want to, we encourage you to come and be a part of this. And it's simply saying, God, I'm stepping out into everything the Holy Spirit has for my life. As we close this song, make room with those coming behind you. Scoot in a little bit, guys. Come on, let's make it personal as we speak about the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
Listen to me today now. Today as I speak to this, I want you to know this Bible talks about there's times that people laid hands and people were filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's nothing wrong with that. And today, if you want someone to lay hands on you and pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit, go to somebody you know who's got that gift and say, hey, will you pray for me? There's other times we see where people just got it. Just people will come to me all the time. They'll come to me while I'm in worship and say, Pastor, I was singing and all of a sudden I was singing like this language. I didn't know what it was. You think that's the Holy Spirit? And I'm just like, yeah, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It can happen that way. Many times just fall in the middle of worship and people just receive it. Some people receive it in the dorm room or your bedroom like I did. A guy told me after church today, he goes, I received it out on the tractor while I was plowing my ground. I was having a conversation with God. I received it out while I was on my tractor. Today, I just want you to know, I want you, first of all, I want you just to say, God, if it's for me, I want it. I want to be open to it. Those of you who have already received it in the past and used it in the past, I just pray that God rekindles that in your life. Say, yeah, I want to start using that weapon again. I want to start using that edifying thing in my life again. And for those of you who have been really fearful, say, you know what? I don't have to be fearful of that. If it's in the Bible and God has it for me, I don't have to be afraid of that. I can open up my life to that. So I invite you to raise your hands one more time. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has been given to us to empower us, to lead us into all truth, to give us spiritual gifts that we can use to not only edify ourselves, but to help others. I pray to Father, we would learn to use these gifts. To not be afraid to pray for somebody at our job who's hurting. Not be afraid to pray for a neighbor. Not be afraid to share a word of encouragement to somebody that you've given us. Not be afraid to believe for a miracle to somebody who needs a miracle. Not be afraid to pray in the Spirit. We feel the Spirit leading us to do that. And Father, I pray right now that there's a new level out of understanding that we're walking in now through the relationship of the Holy Spirit in our life. May it operate in all the areas you have for us. We say yes, yes, and amen. Yes, yes, and amen. Yes, yes, and amen. If you receive that, come on, put your hands together. God, I receive that word today. I want to close with this statement right here. And oftentimes we've said, you know what? We need more of the Holy Spirit. We need more of the Holy Spirit. And people pray that. And I understand what they're saying. I don't disagree with that. But what I want you to know is this. I remind you of something I've said oftentimes here, is that we don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs more of us. And that's what we're saying. I learned to surrender my life every day to the Holy Spirit. God bless you guys. I love you very, very much. Now next week, we're going to kick off on the Father. You're going to learn about who's your daddy, okay? Next week, we'll talk about who's your daddy. Next Sunday here at Destiny Church. God bless you.